Welcome to Pisces Rising.
I'm Ash.
And I'm Heather.
We want to talk about astrology with you.
Go deep or go home.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pisces Rising.
Hi, everybody. We are going to kind of do a flash podcast, and you will hear me chewing on it. It's been maybe a little while, but we just had this opportunity, so we're going to take it. And it's going to be raw.
Yeah. We're just kind of improvising this one, but we're talking about mutable signs and the squares that exist between mutable signs.
And we won't talk about, there's two mutable signs that oppose each other. Maybe we can say something if we have time. That would be, mutable signs also will oppose each other in the sense of, like, if you're a Sagittarius and you're mutable, it shows up as an opposition to the Gemini. But what we're going to be talking about is the Sagittarius mutable making a square to a mutable Pisces, or a Sagittarius making a square to a mutable Virgo.
Right, yeah.
And if there happens to be time, we can cover the opposition. But first, we will focus on the squares with each sign.
So the mutable signs, as you may know, but in case you don't, they are Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, and all those signs end their respective seasons. They are the last month of a particular season, and they end with the equinox or the solstice when the cardinal signs come in. And yeah, mutable signs are about dissolve and endings and flowing and chaos to some extent.
Yep. Feeling, sensuality, reception, drowsiness, laziness, malleability, and weakness or strength, because there's something in the mutable that's very shape-shifty, meaning because mutable is receptive, a mutable sign could maybe touch a tree and feel like wood, and for a little while hold the strength of what it's recepting to.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, the mutable signs, I feel like they can get along, but there is the square that exists. So if you are a mutable person, if you're a sun, your sun is an immutable sign, you are going to either square or oppose anybody else with a mutable sign that's not your sign.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to create its own challenges. And squares are stimulating. They are going to create some kind of tension. And that tension can be really wonderful in helping you to grow and evolve, but it can also be difficult and create a lot of frustrations and stress.
I look at squares, too, as like the feeling when you run your head into the wall and then back up, or like you walk into a wall and you're like, whoa, can't go anymore, and you take a couple steps back. It makes it so you have to think, you're like shocked into this pain. But particularly, And you can't move forward. It's like, even if you think of a square, it's like stable, but it's also not round. It's not fluid. Luckily, mutable is fluid. So in a way, mutable squares are probably the most gentle, but also maybe the most crazily expressed of the squares.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, when it's a mutable square and you hit your head against the wall, it's not going to be like a fixed thing where you keep trying to go through. You're going to bounce back and look for a different direction. Especially with, like, today, the Sagittarius Pisces.
Yeah.
Which is actually my favorite square because it actually brings joy due to the Jupiter connection.
That's so true, yeah. Yeah, as we're recording this, the sun's in Sag, the moon's in Pisces. I was actually just thinking that we were talking. I hadn't put that together yet. So that's cool. But I agree, that's one of the better mutable squares or something. It's a little chaotic, but there is joy to be found there. Do you want to go through all the different squares and what they... Okay.
And let's start with the one happening today.
Okay, yeah.
And the
so
way
it
looks.
Let's start with that Sag Pisces energy, yeah.
Unfinished projects.
Ooh, yeah. A lot of stuff up in the air. I feel like it's hard to plan. Like, today we were trying to figure out what time we were going to meet, and just a bunch of weird delays kept happening, and it's more about like kind of improvising, like, okay, if we have time to do it, we're gonna do it.
And I even thought you were talking about next week, too. It was like, there was something that either I missed or misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I was almost conversing with you in a way of, like, I was hearing something else.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so it's almost like making assumptions or, like, just things getting lost in translation. But generally speaking, there is this element of flowing if you can kind of release expectation. And I think both Sagittarius and Pisces are pretty good at that. They're also not planners in the least. Like, those energies are not about having this strict regimen or this strict schedule. It's more about, like, wanting to flow with what feels good and what feels joyful and full of possibilities.
It's fun and adventurous in a spontaneous way. So if something does come out of it, it usually feels free and feels good.
Yes.
If the plan unfolds. But the plan would unfold not by making it, but by being like, hey, do you want to go out right now? Do you want to go for a run right now? Do you want to just go do a cold dip in the water, like, this second? It would be spontaneous and impulsive.
Yeah.
If you actually are like, in 3 weeks from now, let's do this, it is less likely to happen.
Yeah, because it's almost like the things that are dreamed up under that square, they almost have to come to fruition right then and there, or else they're going to dissipate. That's the dissolve.
Dreamed up and dissolve for that concept is a great word. Because the other thing is with mutable, especially, and we'll move to this next one. Do you have anything more to say on this one?
No.
With the mutable energy of Pisces and Gemini is very much like that. Let's make a plan. Let's imagine something. Let's picture it. Let's talk about all these ideas and never do them.
Yes.
Because both signs are lazy and they don't want to do the work.
Right. They love the theoretical discussions. They love getting lost in their imaginations and expanding upon curiosities. I feel like both of those signs are really into that, and they can come up with so many great ideas together. But yeah, nothing much will happen. Whereas with that Sagittarius Pisces square, stuff is happening more impulsively, and maybe it's not well thought out. But in this one, it's the Gemini energy is much more about talking things out and batting around ideas than finishing them or following through.
It can be very inventive and philosophical, but I would say when it comes to, like, hitting the wall and backing up to look at it, once you hit the wall with this square and you back it up to look at it, when you look at the situation, if you have the square in your chart or with a friend, like a Gemini sun and a Pisces sun, or moon to moon, whatever it is, when you back up and look at the situation within yourself or within the relationship, what you'll find is you'll look at the other person, or you'll look at it as an obstacle, as not doing its part and not receiving it. So when you back up from the square after you hit your face, you're less likely to move forward. And again, the plan dissolves.
Yes, exactly. That's a very good descriptor. There is this sense of shared wonder and, like, playfulness even, but I think that the Pisces energy demands a little bit more emotional presence than the Gemini wants. And so that can feel a little off. I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. It's the Pisces does want more. It might need more, where Geminis aren't needy. And I think that Pisces can be very intrigued by the beginnings and the charm of a Gemini and just kind of, like, think that that beginning talk is going to last longer than it does. So they might just become disappointed, and they might be more the dissolver because they don't want to be disappointed by the projection or the inventive Gemini idea. And a Gemini might, like, look at the Pisces and just be like, oh, you're too sensitive. You can't make the action happen. You can't physically bring this to anyone. You have no common sense, or whatever, you know, the Gemini might think. So the square will operate in a sense of burning out and almost embarrassment. Actually, there is an embarrassing sense to it because the thing doesn't come through, and probably so much energy. I'm actually going to give an example. I had this woman work for me. You know her.
Yeah.
Who was Gemini. And we I don't know if you remember this, but we designed this awesome Halloween party that was silent. So you would, we just talked about it for like ever. Like you'd come to the door, it would be quiet. You'd have to leave your cell phone in a basket. You know, I would do card readings in the back room dressed as a witch, and I would type something out and give them the typing, and they would have to, I would send it to them later, and there might be like you playing transcendental music. I think that was your role, and Jenny was going to do a performing art piece, and you know, it wasn't like you couldn't buy anything. It would be dark and lit up, and you just would make a loop doing these different events that were all silent, and you would leave, and Leo was going to be the bodyguard at the door.
Yeah.
And we came up with this whole visionary, imaginative thing. It was really fun. I started getting everybody on board, and then this person just was out of my life. They like vaporized, and the event didn't happen, and we never talked about it again after like investing hours of conversation.
I do remember this actually, because yeah, I think you got to the point where you asked the other people, including me, if we wanted to participate. I was like, that sounds really cool. Yeah, let's do that. And
yeah.
I never heard anything again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny. But I mean, yeah, like that's the whole idea. You get really deep in the imagining, like you had all the details worked out of how that was going to look. And then the actual follow through just didn't happen, but the imagination was there.
Yeah. And I, on the other hand of that, I have a friend that has a Gemini moon, and we will do the same thing, but with awareness. So we know half the stuff we talk about. She's also an astrologer. So we know when it's my sun talking to her moon, because a Gemini moon is actually pretty extroverted. It's not quite as private.
Mm-hmm.
And it likes to breathe the air of the social nest. So we will do some of the things. We'll plan trips together and do them, and they're super fun. And then when we'll plan trips together, and they'll never happen. But yeah, we know that about each other. So sometimes we're like, okay, fake fantasy time. Let's talk about this.
Let's pretend. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, pretend is a good word for the Pisces square, the Pisces Gemini square.
Totally. All right, do you want to go Gemini Virgo?
Uh-huh.
Okay, Gemini Virgo is interesting because they share a ruler. They're both of their ruling planet is Mercury. So there's some seeing eye to eye there, but there's also this frustration because Virgo demands more. I mean, I think they want more follow through because they want to see something improved, and they don't really want to waste their time envisioning if that can't come to fruition, I feel. Whereas Gemini likes the playful energy, almost of like exercising the mental muscle of imagining.
Yep.
And not to say Virgos can't be imaginative. I know plenty that are, but there is this sense of needing to have it you be useful in some way.
Yes, Virgos need the use, they need the streamline, and they think very differently in their pace of thought. So they analyze and they go into something in a linear fashion. Where Geminis will sporadically think, almost like when you Google something and then you forget what you're Googling and you Google something else, like kind of digital thought. So they're more bouncy in their thought. They're not streamlined, which drives Virgo crazy.
Yeah.
So again, very hard to make plans. Virgos maybe being more disappointed by the Geminis. Geminis thinking that Virgos are on the neurotic side. And then in the energy of going to make the plan, it is by nature, I think it would take longer to make a plan and be confusing in actually the making of the plan.
Yes, definitely. And by the time they get to actually doing the thing, I think Virgo would be exasperated and Gemini would be like, well, the fun has been sucked out of this. But I think that there is some common ground. Both are mercurial, as I mentioned. So there is this energy of really enjoying the communication process. And when it's going well, it's going really well. But the problem is that yeah, Gemini is not consistent. They are a little bit more like sparkly and effervescent. They move from one thing to another. They're not always the most predictable. And I think that can make Virgo uneasy and activate their nervousness more. And I think that's one big thing, because mercurial signs are nervous just in general. There's a certain anxiety there. And so I think they can exaggerate that in each other.
I think also that the Virgo emotion is anxiety almost more to the emotion or the lack of emotion. And the Gemini is more of a mental, neurotic, quick anxiety. And Virgo's like perfection. And I don't think that Geminis really care about perfection. No. They're smart. They can do things well and thorough. But they're going to do something and then move to the next thing and do something, where Virgos kind of look like a straight line in their action. So they do something that leads to the big picture one step at a time, where Gemini dives in, you know, starts and maybe doesn't finish. So when they square each other, again, in friendships, in relationships, and in your own chart, there is an energy where it doesn't dissolve, but they almost cancel each other out, because the ways of thinking are actually so different. But again, upon the beginning and the introduction, that charm of a Gemini could be like, oh, this Virgo could be like, oh, this Gemini really has their shit together. They're really well spoken. They can speak the speak, but can they walk the walk? And that's only going to show over time, where Virgos will actually walk the walk before they even talk about it. Almost in that scorpionic way, because Virgos just want to make sure they know what they're doing. I don't think that Geminis care about what they're doing. I don't think they need to know what they're doing. I think they try it and then they figure it out.
Yeah. Yes. Very accurate. So Virgo Sag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is a weird one. Virgo Sagittarius is a very weird combination, in my opinion.
It's very unsexy, actually.
Yeah, it's not good. I mean, I'm sure it can be, but yeah. That was mostly a joke. But I think that there is some... I'm trying to, like, put it into words.
It's very hard to describe.
It's a feeling in my body, but it's not... I'm not getting any words with it right now. I think...
It kind of feels boring and empty.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
that's extreme, but...
I feel like the Sagittarius would get really tired of the Virgo energy quickly.
Impatient.
Yeah. I mean, I think that... Yeah, because the thing is, Virgos are pretty patient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can be. And Sagittarians are the opposite of that. And Sagittarians require so much variety, and they need to have the ability to kind of move from one thing to the other, whereas Virgos require more consistency and... kind of like the expectation of what's going to happen. And I don't think that Sag can provide that for them, nor would they want to.
Sages are all about freedom, especially physically, and they're impulsive, and they're not tidy.
No.
They're not necessarily sloppy. I actually find them very efficient, and I think that's what could have in common. But the efficiency of the Sagittarius, and this is all coming to me right now because I think I literally blocked this one out. The efficiency of... The Sagittarius might be like, what's the quickest, cheapest way I could travel? And they don't need, like, a safe place to stay. They'll sleep in their car or sleep on a fucking sidewalk, because they, you know, their home is their body, or the galaxies or the stars is their body. Where Virgos, their body is their body.
And they want to protect it.
Yeah. And, you know, instability and spontaneity that's extreme and all the time, which, like, a Sag is, like, let's say Jim Morrison or Pablo Escobar or Trevor Hall, you know, they're all Sag adventure travelers, inventors, and extreme and out there physically, and they're constantly moving, where a Virgo energy, like, you know,
they're kind of homebodies in some ways. I mean, not all of them, but there is that capacity.
Because their digestive system is always fucked. So they like to stay home. Yeah. And they're always, like, nervous. So they would plan a trip of, like, okay, this week I stay here. This week I stay here.
Yeah.
They need that, like, form and that linearity. I don't know if that's a word, but that straightness.
They want to know what to expect. Yeah, so if they plan a trip, they want to, like, research it and make sure they're staying at the best hotel. Not to say they can't have fun and go on trips and adventures. I mean, I'm honestly thinking, I work with a Sagittarius and a Virgo, and their work styles are so, like, a good explanation of this. Like,
do they do the same job?
Yes, and the Sagittarius will kind of, like, disappear for a while and space out for a while, and it gets to the point where the Virgo gets really nervous about it, like, oh no, we're not going to finish, but then the Sagittarius comes and finishes all the work in 2 hours. And the Virgo, whereas the Virgo is working more consistently throughout the day, like, chipping away on, like, having these, like, very specific places for things, whereas the Sagittarius is going to leave stuff all over the room, but then at the end of the day, everything is taken care of and, you know, cleaned up.
The Sag part, you just described Kara.
Oh, yeah.
She would, like, multitask, talk, be on her phone talking to her kids, doing whatever.
And you might be like, how is she going to get all this done? But then she does.
Yeah. In, like, 3 hours, she would have the whole store redone while doing other things and catching people stealing.
Yeah. Like, exactly. They're amazing. Great. They can hold so many areas of focus. Or, yeah, they'll be on their phone, but they can listen to you perfectly and also do another thing. And whereas Virgos are more like, I want to completely, like, immerse myself in this one task.
You just made me think of something very important. I do a lot of horseback riding, horse work, and, you know, the instructors or the people at the barn are always like, they can only think one thing at a time, just like humans. They can only think one thing at a time. Mutable signs, other than Virgo, but definitely the Gemini, the Sag, and the Pisces, they can multi-think to the point, two thoughts at the same time. And they're also that element of being otherworldly or having two sides. They can, like, you know, be in, like, literally, I'll be in fucking La La Land while I'm here with you right now, and I'll be communing with, like, my great-grandmother while being with you, and she might be saying, like, what to tell you or whatever. Right. There's this, like, I'm in this other world, but I'm also very present here with you.
Yeah.
You know, this is just the way my soul's radiating. Mm-hmm. And for a Pisces, that part, it might be easier. I think it looks a little bit differently for other signs, but definitely, like, Geminis can, like, you know, be on the computer reading and memorizing every little thing they're reading while you're talking to them and they're having a conversation with you, which means you don't think one thought at a time. You can think so many thoughts that you cancel your brain out.
Yeah, exactly.
And mutable squares as a whole,
they can short circuit.
Act like that. Yeah. Yep. And definitely there would be a short circuit with the Sag and the Virgo, because a Virgo, I think, is just, like, keeps giving Sag the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, they're like, something different needs to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Sag just is like, my way or the highway. Like, leave me alone. I'm going to do what I want no matter what you say.
Yeah. Yeah, and in my experience, like, with my coworkers, they get along well. It's just that I can see, like, the tension that, like, they cause each other, like, light tension. And then they usually get to the end, you know, just because they're like, oh, no, you work a little bit different or whatever.
And to that getting along well, I would say that out of all the mutable cardinal fixed, the mutable is the signs that are most likely to be able to get along with everyone.
Yeah, I think that's true. Mutable signs are the most adaptable. And so with these mutable squares, yes, there's tension, but they're still going to get along better than, like, a fixed square pairing would.
Yes.
Or even a cardinal square.
And that would even go with Virgos and Sag, because the other thing about Virgos and Sag is they don't like to feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Sages immediately brush something off to avoid discomfort, and Virgos feel so discomfort in their body when they're nervous that they keep safe to avoid that.
Yes. Yes.
Are we peacing out?
Yeah. So that was a quick one for you, but we wanted to drop in and chat a little bit, and yeah, maybe we'll do this for fixed squares and cardinal squares too, but we'll do a more extensive episode next time too.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
For listening to Pisces Rising. You can find us on Instagram at Pisces Rising Podcast, email us PiscesRisingPodcast@gmail.com, or find us on Facebook. Have a magical day.